fire. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CanCast episode number 353. I am your host, Chibi D, here in Tokyo, Japan. And as always, we are joined by a man who couldn't be more excited for the new Nintendo health-conscious console, because apparently he's been on the Super Mario diet for years, Wombat.
It's-a-me, Wombat. Did you say Tokyo, Japan?
I might have said that.
Because that's funny. I like Tokyo.
I had some nuts earlier, and I've learned that they were mixed nuts. So I had an African American gentleman's nuts, and a
and there's the next step. Good job.
Yeah. So, but the nuts they get stuck in your throat, and now I have a bad throat.
And now you're in Tokyo.
Now I'm in Tokyo, right? And Shipwreck is here also, and he's nuts.
not even nuts right now.
He's nut-free, as we all have come to learn.
I've got some nuts.
Two. At least.
At least.
Okay.
At least.
This is a very childish start to the show.
That's what we do best.
For some change of pace. So I see, Wombat, that you've been suffering lately.
I have. I for the last 2 weeks... have had the worst toothache. So I went to my dentist and he does an x-ray and he goes, yeah, your two teeth in your top right, they're rotting from the inside out.
Bad nuts, probably.
Bad nuts. It actually has nothing to do with my brushing or eating habits. It's really more just genetic, hereditary bad teethness.
Not the Super Mario diet.
Not the Super Mario. It's not the fact that I eat three meatballs every day.
Three?
Three, yeah. Well, that's the diet. There were, you know, three Mario games for the NES. You're supposed to have a meatball per game. That's the diet. Don't you look these things up?
No. But each meatball is the size of a basketball.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was assumed.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, so he's like, you need a root canal in both those teeth. So I make an appointment, and I get to the endodontist. And he looks at the teeth. He goes, okay, well, these are both the most difficult teeth to need root canals on. We're only going to be able to do one at a time, and the second one's going to require two visits. Yeah. So he did the first one on Wednesday. And I'll give the guy some credit. When he was doing the root canal, there wasn't a lick of pain. I didn't feel anything the whole time.
I think you should give the drug some credit.
Yeah. Well, the drugs, too.
I don't know if it was really that guy's
doing the drugs.
He gave him the drugs. Right. He knew to give him the drugs and administer them properly.
Yes, which reminds me, I never took my antibiotic today. I took it this morning and then forgot for the rest of the day. I'll take it again before bed. It's not the end of the world. I'm just a few hours behind. So when I got home, I was fine until the drugs wore off. And then it was like someone came into my house with like a chisel and a metal boot. And kicked me in the face and then chiseled out my teeth. That's what it felt like. And I was alone, luckily, and I just curled up on the couch and just writhed in pain for about 3 hours.
They didn't give you good drugs to take?
Well, here's the problem, is I have Percocet, but my wife was working till 9 p.m. yesterday. So that meant I had to go and get the kids, which meant I had to go drive and be alone with children for an extended period of time. Which meant I had to just man up and not take painkillers until my wife came home.
Wait, you can't take painkillers and...
It's really not appropriate.
It's not?
No. I don't want to be drugged up and caring for my children.
They're that strong?
Percocet? Yeah. Prescription painkillers? I mean, I took some Tylenol, which, you know, I guess did the best job it could, but it still was a lot of pain. But when I take the hardcore... pain medicine that kind of just numbs your head.
I feel like you could handle taking care of kids on Percocet.
Let's not give
it. I don't know that I have any Percocet experience.
I'd rather not test it. Why take that risk?
Because it hurts.
I can deal with the pain. I can handle the pain. It hurts a lot, but I can handle it when it comes to, you know, when I'm alone and I don't have to deal with anyone, I will sit on my couch and complain to myself for 3 hours. But when I have to go and, you know, to be dad time, then it's dad time.
Wow. You're either the best dad in the world or the biggest pussy in the world.
It's like a combination. I flip-flop. I'm like, it's like a Hulk thing.
Right.
Except it's pussy into dad. It's
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Don't make him domestic. You wouldn't like me when I'm domestic.
Right.
Yes.
Does that mean like you don't like have a glass of wine around the kids either?
I don't know.
Not even
my wife will, but I won't.
Not one glass?
I don't like to drink if, well, it depends. If my wife isn't going to have a drink that night, or, you know, I may have a beer, maybe, like once a week.
Okay.
But I don't like it when we're both drinking at the same time.
These are very interesting revelations that we're
well, you know,
he's a very cautious
call
man.
Me neurotic. What if something happens and one of us needs to drive a child somewhere?
Right, one drink, though, I'm saying.
I'm a crazy person. These are my foibles.
Right, okay.
Did I mention that my children aren't allowed to leave the house, but when they do, they're in giant, like, clear bubbles that I keep them in?
Bubble boy? Like bubble boy?
Yeah, I have bubble children. Did I mention that part, too?
Interesting. Well, mm-hmm. this is what the CADcast is all about, learning about how weird we all are.
I may be a little weird. Okay, I may be overprotective.
I see.
To a fault.
Okay.
Yes. Also, speaking of overprotective, sort of, I wanted to talk about this because my wife signed us all up for the JCC.
What is that for people who wouldn't know, which is 99%
is that,
of the people?
Is the first J Jewish?
It's the Jewish Community Center. It's kind of similar, but not as nice as the Tokyo American Club.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
It has a pool. It has a big indoor pool with a locker room that they literally just renovated. It has a sauna in it, and it has a steam room in it.
Oh, it's so hot in the steam room.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of Jews.
Oh, the sauna.
It doesn't have any restaurants. It only has like a snack bar.
Right.
So that's where it kind of differs from the Tokyo American Club. It's not like a country club, but it does have the pool and it has basketball courts and it has a track.
So this is the YMCA for the Jewish people.
Yes.
It is very similar to a YMCA.
Without a catchy song. So, is there a catchy song for the JCC?
JCC oi.
Right.
But yeah, so we joined that, and I also have a gym, and I'm supposed to have a meet with a private trainer or something.
Mm, nice.
Yeah, but I'm paying now. Basically, I'm paying for a gym membership, so we'll see if I ever use it, I think is...
See, I was talking about the Super Mario diet, but I wasn't too far off.
No, I eat 3 meatballs a day, and then I run track.
3 matzo balls now.
Matzo balls. 3 matzo balls a day, and then I run the track. But yeah, no, I was surprised. It's very nice, and we went there for the first time. It was 15 degrees out on Sunday, and we took the kids swimming, and that was kind of cool.
Where is it?
It's in Plainview, which means nothing to anyone that isn't you.
Right.
It's about 5 minutes away, really. Okay. 15 at most, we'll say. Between excellent. 5 and 15 minutes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do some show feedback?
We shall. This has been a very wombat-heavy beginning of this show, I feel.
That's wombat heavy.
Wombat heavy.
These jokes just write themselves.
Oh, I get it, because I'm heavy.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But not for
I
long.
I like how we're explaining all of our members. Jokes in this episode. This is my favorite part.
Well, maybe not everyone's as quick as Cheapy. And by not everybody, I'm pretty sure everyone's as quick as Cheapy, if not quicker.
Okay.
Thorbon 3 has to say, Wombat had a Sega CD, and now just hearing about this? What was my favorite title? I mean, it was probably, you know, just to be, you know, not to be boring, but was there really anything better than Sonic? Really? Sonic CD?
What was the advantage of playing Sonic on the CD?
It's a completely different game.
It was a different game. Sonic CD is its own title.
Okay.
Yeah. You never played Sonic CD?
I didn't have the CD drive, and I didn't know anybody that had it.
And I remember hitting a game-ending crash on Willie Beamish. But up until that, I actually liked that game a lot. But there you go.
I pretty much like everything on Sega CD. It's
yeah, eventually that game would just be like, oh, now I don't work.
Eh.
Hooray for patches in the modern age.
I went when Funko Land was going out of business or getting bought by GameStop, whichever one of those things happened first. I don't remember. I went in and just like pillaged every Funko Land of all their Sega CD titles because they were selling them for like 80 cents.
Nice.
So
that, what was it? Was there a Silpied on that too?
Yep.
Yeah, that was good. That was good too. The first one, I guess. Codename Lenny. Great show. I found the advertising explanation very informative and interesting. Thanks, Wombat. Cheapy, I wanted to thank you for saying all those nice things about me on Twitter. I thought your account got hacked.
What did I say? I don't even remember what I wrote.
You just said, you know, that I brought it, I believe you said at some point.
Oh,
which I believe
okay.
is something that the kids say.
Right, that's a compliment, I think. No, I mean, I think, you know, there's very few topics that we can sort of be experts on the CADcast that other gaming podcasts can't cover, maybe better. But probably internet advertising is one of them because that's what you do for a living. That and helicopter maintenance.
Which could happen. That could come up very soon.
You never know.
You never know. When I heard that Microsoft paid Machinima to build helicopters.
Right.
So...
Yeah, no, well, that was a good explanation, and I think, yeah, we all learned.
Video game helicopters don't really need maintenance because every one of them crashes. So they're it's not going to come up anytime soon, unless they figure out a way to not have a helicopter in a video game crash.
Right. We were talking about, during our advertising explanation, we were talking about, I was giving the example of that X-Blades promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So I was curious because, you know, we were talking about it and I didn't remember all the details. So I went back just to check it out. So do you remember that X-Blades was published by South Peak?
Yep.
Do you remember?
South Peak.
What's that?
Our friends at South Peak.
Well, it's long gone.
I know. That was the joke.
Right. So I went back, you know, I was looking through my emails to find all this information and I've totally slipped my mind that, you know, they went out of business. They started to go bankrupt right around the time that we were running that promotion. And when it came time for them to pay the bill to CAG, we got a letter from the CFO saying like they had to go on a payment plan because they didn't have any money, and like they only wanted to pay like a couple $100 a month for like forever, basically. And like my dad handles the CAG finances, so he had to like he's like emailing the CFO of South Peak telling him like, you know, this payment plan is ridiculous, like you can't come up with more than like a couple $100 in the first month, and it's this whole thing. But we eventually got them on a this is so ridiculous, like you can't, it wasn't that much money. They just didn't have, they couldn't even come up with a you know, they couldn't even pay a simple bill.
We should have just acquired the X-Blades license.
I think we could have gotten in exchange for the advertising
right.
promotion.
Yes. Yeah.
That could have been good. But
we could still be making X-Blades games. We could be on X-Blades 5.
Imagine the windfall we could have all reached from that.
My house would be like an eighth the size bigger.
Right. You could invite people to come with you, a guest membership at the JCC.
There you go. It's $10 to take a guest.
That's cheaper than Tokyo American Club.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure my membership's significantly cheaper, too.
I'm sure it is. Yeah, but they did eventually pay their bill. They agreed to my dad had negotiated a better payment plan with them, and then they eventually paid it off. Anyway.
I pay $180 a year for my community center.
I pay a bit more than that.
That's less than what I pay in a month.
It's Ohio.
By a lot. I know.
Ohio's that's cheap. That's like 2 months at the JCC.
You down with JCC?
Yeah, you know me.
Oi.
Fell open land. Or is it fell open in?
I think it's fallopian.
Fallopian.
Fallopian. Oh, I get it. Fallopian.
Yeah.
Well, now I just want to play, I'm going to say it wrong. Wait, Mario Four Swords. I paused to think about it. Is everyone happy? Mario Four Swords. I'm only bringing that up because if you're listening to the show on the day it comes out, or within the next 2 days after we release this show, Zelda the Four Swords is free on the 3DS. So go get it.
What, wasn't it already free? Or was that something that, like, haven't they given this away for free before?
I think they did, but like a while, but before I had a 3DS. So I have it now. I downloaded it this evening.
I can't wait till you play
that. I even
played
a little of it. It is fun. I played it before.
Sure.
So I played it on the GameCube.
Are you implying that Wombat's not going to play it?
Yes.
I just said I already played some.
What? Not on. You played the new one? The one that just...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I downloaded it when I came home, and I played a little bit of it when I was waiting for you guys.
In your face, Shipwreck.
That is in my face. All in my face.
I played for like a half hour. It was fun. Oh, I solved some puzzles. I had the green guy and the blue guy. We lit it up, literally.
Okay.
So go play some Four Swords. The single player on that's fun. So, speaking of making fun of Shipwreck, Hunter New York 77 says, Wombat, Shipwreck is being a hater because he hasn't reached puberty and can't grow a beard. Fur does look good on you. What did your kids think the first time they saw Daddy transform into Wombat? So, because I've been posting a lot of pictures lately, people have noticed that I now have a full beard. So I just wanted to bring that up. I now have a full beard.
Congratulations. And that Shipwreck can't grow a beard? Is that what you wanted to...
And Shipwreck, I don't think he can. He's been making fun of it for a few days, so...
Is that beard coming to E3?
Yeah, I don't know yet. I mean, I kind of like it. The folks at work, it has a big thumbs up from you know, the gay community.
That's good.
Yeah, so I kind of like that. You know, oh, I must be stylish if everyone likes it. Beards are hip now. So, we'll see.
You don't have to decide now.
I don't. I have a few months before, if I get in.
Yep. Yes. Wombat screwed up his application again.
I did. I do it every year, and every year I'm the last person to get it approved, and you guys have already been approved. So, you know, sucks to be me. Although last year, I think I got it back relatively quickly, but whatever, doesn't matter.
Okay. How about watch this, bitches? What do we got here?
Oh, I watched This Is the End over the weekend.
That's the one, that's the Jonah Hill one?
Yeah, that's the Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen,
okay,
James Franco. Yeah, they all play themselves.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was okay.
It was all right.
Yeah, it's pretty much what I got there.
I started watching True Detective.
Oh, nice.
That show's pretty good.
Yeah, what episode are you on?
I've only watched the first episode so far.
Okay, the second one is pretty awesome, and so is the third one. So that's Matthew McConaughey does an amazing job.
McConaughey,
hi. He's a pretty excellent actor. I really like how they're really playing two different characters, even though it's the same character, because one is like 10 years into the future, and they've changed. It's pretty.
They have worse hair.
Well, not just the hair, but
no, that's pretty much the difference.
Not Matthew McConaughey.
Wait, so
character.
Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey are playing the same person, but 10 years apart?
Yeah, they both play detectives, okay? And then most of the show takes place in the past, and then every once in a while they cut to the detectives sitting in a room being interviewed by other detectives about this case, and they're like 10 years older.
I thought it was like the interrogation
flashback scenario.
Okay, I thought it was like some weird sci-fi thing where they were solving a mystery, but one of the detectives was that detective, but from 10 years in the future.
No.
Which also would be a good show that I would watch.
That's a different show.
I know, but I would watch that show.
Okay.
I've come from the future to help you solve this mystery. I'm you. Time detectives. Coming this fall to Fox.
Yeah, I haven't watched any movies. I started watching Masters of Sex, though. Do you know that show?
I tried to get into that, and I couldn't.
You watched just the first episode?
Yeah.
There wasn't enough nudity in it?
If I want to watch something for nudity, I'll just watch a naked people thing.
Right.
If I'm watching Masters of Sex,
porn.
I'm watching it because I want to watch a good show.
You mean pornography is what you
mean? Yes, I do. No, I mean, yes. Yes,
that seemed good to me. It seemed pretty interesting to me. It's about Masters and Johnson and their sex, their famous sex studies.
Sex studies.
Yeah, and you get to watch people have sex in it. And Lizzie Kaplan is in it, who is the she was from Party Down, and she's very naked in it. She's cute.
She is. Agreed. And,
yeah. What's going on? My outline is just like crashed or something.
I don't know. I can't help you there. I don't know, Dave. Well,
somebody else do something while I try to fix
What are
this.
You doing, Dave?
Yeah, we have some new releases. Let's see here.
What do we got?
We have Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, which I guess the PlayStation 4 is the better version of that over the Xbox One.
Is the real Definitive Edition, and the Xbox One version is just a different, another edition, I guess.
It's an edition.
An edition.
I'm sure it's good, too.
A second edition.
I mean, it's a great game. I will probably buy it for PS4. I don't know.
Just to see.
Just to see. I like that game a lot, and I have some gift cards, and Target just hasn't had it in stock yet.
Oh,
it's
I
just
see.
A matter of time.
Oh, you have Target gift cards? Yeah, I have Amazon gift cards that I've yet to use.
But you're not going to buy it again, are you, Amit?
No, I'm not. I'm waiting for either Assassin's Creed to drop another $10 or Dead Rising to drop another $10. And then I'll probably jump on that, even though it's not my money. Or if they get PlayStation 4s back in stock, I have enough where I could get a PlayStation 4 pretty damn cheap. And that's actually kind of tempting.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, we'll see. It's a two-handed conversation I have with myself. Do I want to get a cheaper PlayStation 4 if they ever come back in stock? Or do I want to be able to buy, like, you know, four or five games over the course of the first half of the year for the Xbox One? What is the better? What's better for the show, really, is the question. Yeah, exactly. I don't know that answer either, but considering that the price drops that I'm waiting for haven't happened yet and they don't have any PlayStation 4s in stock, it really doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right. What else we got here?
Broken Age officially came out for PC. I don't know. I haven't played that. Have you?
No, I want to.
Yeah, looks good.
No controller support, though, on that for big picture mode, unfortunately. Because I thought that would be good in my living room. I thought Ty could enjoy that, maybe Mrs. Cheapy as well, but here we are.
The whole family.
But I could also just bring the mouse in there and use the mouse. Not a big deal. I'll pick it up eventually. What else?
Octodad, The Dadliest Catch, came out for PC just today.
I started playing it. I bought it, and I played about a half an hour of it so far. Have you played it at all? You played it at E3, right?
Yeah, I played it for the PS4 at E3.
Is it on the PS4 yet, too, or has it been out for the
March,
PS4?
They say. Oh, okay. They think March. So yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, in this game, you play, it's pretty funny. it's quite funny. You play an octopus who is trying to disguise himself as a dad, as you might have inferred from the title. But what makes
a human dad.
Excuse me. Yes, of course. So
not one of those crazy octopus dads.
Right. So the first scene of the game is actually it's your wedding day and you're getting married. And so that what makes the game special is are the controls. So your tentacles are mapped to the analog sticks, and what your right leg is mapped to the right trigger and the left leg is mapped to the left trigger. So the controls are pretty difficult / funny. Which is part of, you know, the main part of the gameplay.
It's like a Surgeon Simulator.
Yeah.
2013.
Isn't there a type of genre?
Are they calling it the quap?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Oh, that's a game.
That's a game.
Quap is its own game.
Oh, okay.
It's that you never played that game?
No.
Oh. It's a game where it's like, think track and field, where you're a runner.
Okay.
But the only controls are the buttons Q, W, O, and P. And it controls, like, the legs, but in a way, like, the joints of the legs.
No, not the arms. Just the legs.
Okay.
Just the legs. So, yeah. So you're using, like, the Q bends the knee and the W bends the hip.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it's really complicated. And if you could run, like, 3 feet, you've done a good job.
Right. So this, in the similar vein, you know, this game you're trying to... you know, you're trying to make some coffee and you're spilling the coffee all over the place, and you know, you got to pour some milk for your daughter for breakfast, and you know, you knock her over. So there's a little meter on the bottom of the screen, and it's the meter that people are suspicious that you might not be a human. You might actually be an octopus.
It's not an octopus.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. I've only played a half an hour so far, but it's been pretty funny so far.
The thing is, it sounds like to me that a half hour of that game might just be enough.
Maybe, but it's funny. It is funny. So it seems like it's worth playing. There's also Steam Workshop for it, which means that people can make their own levels and you can just download them very easily. You know, it's cheap. It's like $10 or something like that. So I don't know. It was funny. The music is good. I don't know. So far, so good.
And I think Loadout comes out this week, right?
February 1st. Yeah.
Yeah. So this week. I've been playing some Loadout. Just a little bit of it.
What is Loadout?
I played it at last year's PAX, I guess.
Okay.
Loadout is a similar style game to like a Team Fortress. It kind of looks like that. But it's all about customizing your guns. And so there's like skill trees for your different type of weapons. And you go out and you kill people, and then you come back and you buy new add-ons for your weapons and you level them up and everything.
It's third-person shooter?
It is. Yes, it's definitely third person.
Okay.
Because I had to think about it for a second, because those type of genres like kind of control like first person anyways. It just depends if you see your character, but you definitely see your character because it's pretty gory in a hilarious way. Like just the first game I was playing, somebody had like one of the guns is like a laser beam gun. And they shot me with it, and then I'm running around with this giant cavity that I can see all the way through my guy's chest. Okay. And you see like various guts and stuff that are just like in there. But the characters are cool with it. They'll get their legs blown off and just like crawl along the ground and everything and like flick off the other guys. It's fun. I hope it, I haven't gotten that far into the economy of it. So I hope it's not something where you have to pour a lot of money in.
Yeah, it's a free-to-play PC game, by the way.
Is it free-to-play?
Yeah.
I don't know. I got a code for it, so I didn't know if it was free-to-play or $10 or
I believe that if you want to, I think it comes out February 1st, which is tomorrow, Saturday. But if you wanted to get early access, you had to buy like a pack, you know, with virtual currency and some weapons and stuff. I think that's what they're doing. I'm pretty sure. Cool. I want to check it out. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I'd like to play some of that with you. It's a very... So far, I've played two rounds, and they've both been like, go capture this point, and everybody... It's kind of a small environment, so there's a lot of shooting going on, but...
You're playing with a controller?
It's controller friendly.
Okay.
So, yeah.
What else we got here?
That's probably about it, I think.
Did you see Strike Vector? That didn't look interesting to you?
I don't know anything about it.
It's a... people are saying it reminds them of Quake a lot, except you're a spaceship. And you can... You know, you have two different modes. You have like a hover mode and a straight-ahead mode. But it's like a Fast and Furious first-person shooter with really nice graphics and, you know, like a budget price. I think it's $20 or something like that. I haven't played it yet, but I did watch the trailer, and it looked interesting, but it's only a multiplayer only, you know, like deathmatch type dealy. So I don't know. Keep an eye out for Strike Vector. Maybe I'll pick it up. And I think that's it, right?
That was exciting stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some quick CAG news. If you're listening to this on Friday, this is the last day of the Child's Play, fundraiser raffle that we
Congratulations.
Do. Yeah, we made our $30,000 target, which was pretty good, especially
pretty
since
awesome.
Yeah, this year nobody wrote about it. You know, no other gaming blog wrote about it. I didn't ask them to write it. I didn't like submit it as news or anything, but so we still managed to raise our target even with no publicity. which means that it was 100% CAGS who put up the money and participated. So that's pretty sweet, I think. So thank you, everybody, for doing that. And I had a lot of fun this week doing some live streaming and trying to hawk some money out of you guys.
You are the Jerry Lewis of video game personalities.
Yes, of course. I'll talk about the games that we play later.
We all, in our own way, we are all cheapies kids.
Okay. So yeah, we'll run the
this
raffle.
This may be the Percocets talking by now.
Oh, did you start? Did you take
it
already?
Oh, I totally took one. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll run the raffle soon and announce the winners, big winners.
Woo!
All right, let's do a quick ad for GoDaddy for all your web hosting and domain registration needs. Some coupon codes for you: 295CAG gets you $2.95. Domain registrations or transfers for the first year. Coupon code WSB9 gets you a new website builder plan for $1 a month for 12 months. HostOff1 gets you a $1.99 economy hosting for 12 months with a free domain. And lastly, 30Deal1 gets you 30% off new order purchases. So I forgot to put the codes in the CADcast thread last week, but I will not make that mistake again. So thanks, GoDaddy. Now
Did
for
we talk
some
about jazz punk at all?
I didn't, but I have it on the outline for later.
Okay.
Don't worry.
We'll get to that.
We will. Let's talk about Microsoft, because there's a bunch of Microsoft news this week. The first bit of news, a big announcement that Microsoft has bought the Gears of War IP from Epic. Woohoo! Which seems like, I don't know, it seems like a good idea, I guess. That game sells a lot.
It sells a lot. I think it's an IP that's closely associated with Microsoft anyway, so it just makes sense for them to own it. I'm actually surprised they didn't do this sooner. More than anything else?
I think the last one, I totally forgot that they had that Gears of War. What was the last one?
Judgment.
Called? Judgment. I think a lot of people sort of forgot about that. If it doesn't have a number after the name, I think people get suspicious. And it didn't seem to sell as well as the previous titles. But I think obviously on Xbox One, that is pretty much a guaranteed hit.
Yeah, I don't think they really promoted Judgment as much as the other titles either, though.
They didn't drop a lot of marketing dollars into it, you're saying?
They did some, but not as much.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think... Yeah, this makes sense for Microsoft. It's a huge franchise, no matter what people want to believe. It's still a pillar of their like exclusive titles. So
yeah,
it makes sense.
I saw some really weird tweets out there. Like people were like confused or like, why would they do this? Like, you know, who's interested in, you know, like here's one from one of our listeners, Matt Westcott says, is anyone actually interested in playing a new Gears of War game? I was more excited for a new IP from Black Tusk. I mean, what did it sell? Like 5 million copies, the franchise? More, probably.
Oh, the total franchise has sold a lot more than that, I would think.
Yeah. Like maybe like 2 million each for Gears 1, 2, and 3 or something like that. I mean, yeah. I don't know. VG charts to the rescue.
Yeah, but now I'm like...
It sold a lot.
Gears of Wars, I typed in. Whatever.
Yeah, I found it right here. Not that VG charts is like the most accurate thing, but it should give you a good idea. It says,
well,
oh yeah, each
game,
one sells
yeah, the
about
first
5
game
million.
On Wikipedia says it sold over 5.88 million copies.
Okay, so each one seems to looks like Gears of War 1. Yeah, it sold about 17 million copies. 18 million copies total. 1,
That's
2
a
and
lot.
3. Yeah, so I think it's probably, you know, there are people who are interested in it, Matt. I would buy it.
I mean, I think there's room in the world for another Gears of War game, especially one that looks amazing and is an upgrade in the series. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Does the world, if it's a shitty game, no one wants it? I mean, you know, I don't think I need to say that, but I do think that there's still, you know, if they made a great Gears of War game, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I always liked about Gears of War is that I felt like I could be sort of competitive in it, even though I'm not generally good at those shooter type games. And maybe because it's a third person shooter, it's a
because
little more accessible.
Because it's third person, it's a little more close quarters. It's the smaller matches, you know, that 4-on-4 or 5-on-5.
Yeah, I like it. I'm into it.
Yeah, and I think we've, you know, Horde mode, Gears of War was the, it wasn't the first game to do it, but it was the first game to do it on, you know, in such a mainstream way.
And people actually played it.
And that's what I mean. And people actually played it. And I think now it's, you know, almost every, you know, so many major releases have that in there. And I think you forget that this is something that started, you know, in many ways started with Gears of War.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I saw people. Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
I think people forget how innovative the first and second, and really the second game was for its time. I know the last two, well, I didn't play three, and I know Shipwreck liked three a lot.
Three was great.
So we're talking about three games that were, you know, the first two are actually very innovative for their time. And I think people forget that. And
I think they could go back and revisit some of the stuff that was in the first game that kind of went away after that.
Such as?
The first game had all of that stuff where you had to like stay in the light or you would get killed by the little bat things.
Like Alan Wake.
That kind of completely went away after that first game. So I think there's some room to go back and explore that. They have to come up with a new storyline because the last one wrapped it up pretty neatly.
But I think but that's really what it comes down to in many ways. Or just, you know, they do it in movies all the time. Why not just a reboot? I mean, you could just
I don't want to play as the same characters again. I think I'm ready for some new Gears of War characters.
Okay, hey, I'm just thinking outside the box. Or aloud. Yeah. Really more aloud.
I actually prefer those multiplayer matches with, you know, just a few number of players because it's easy to get a team together comprised totally of your friends. You don't have to have a million friends, right? You only, it's like, was it
now
four?
You need
four,
like four, Titanfall, right? Apologist.
Yeah. Three or four, depending upon the...
I'm an apologist.
A Titanfall apologist. That's what
right, because that's a six on... Well, six on six is more, I think, than Gears of War has, right? It used to have. But anyway I kind of like that, even though... Yeah, whatever. Okay. There were also a whole shitload of Xbox One leaks on NeoGAF, which we can go through here. None of them particularly surprising.
And we don't know what's true either, but I will say a lot of this stuff is stuff that you would think of if you just made a list out.
Right. Okay. So like Forza Horizon is coming. I mean, yeah. I mean the one for Xbox 360 was excellent. In fact, I like that a lot better than Forza 5 on Xbox
One. It also is a nice, like every other one is Horizon versus the numbered ones. It makes sense.
That makes sense. I think that is. I agree with Shipwreck. I can't believe I said that.
Well, it's very it's different enough from Forza, but similar enough that gets you excited about it. I mean, the problem with Forza 5 is that it's just boring. You're just doing the same tracks over and over again, same type of races, same everything. So this is going to be open world. It says so it's coming out this year, end of this year. Lots of co-op options and social options and open world. So if it's got the graphics from Forza 5, you know, I'm pretty super excited about it, especially if it, you know, my favorite part about Forza 5 is that they've rendered the interior of the cars so perfectly. So if they have that awesome in-dash view that Forza 5 has, then I'm, you know, I'm pretty pumped.
Okay, so there's a Forza game coming.
This year, supposedly. Also...
Maybe,
okay.
Maybe. This is all rumor and hearsay.
What else we got here? Also, a white Xbox is coming. White Xbox One is coming. Okay, that's...
Yeah, they usually make these things in multiple colors.
Good for them. Yeah.
Halo Anniversary 2 is coming out.
Halo 2 Anniversary.
Right, Halo 2 anniversary, right, I'm reading here. What else is it?
That sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, it'll have beta access to Halo 5, which, you know, I don't know, that could help, I guess. But I liked Halo 2. I have fond memories of Halo 2 that was at Xbox, wasn't it?
Halo 2?
Was Halo 2 Xbox or Xbox 360?
Halo 2 was Xbox.
Like
gosh,
how long
it's been so long.
I know.
Yep.
But that was the although the, even though they did dumb down the pistol in that one.
That's original Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah, I have fond memories of that. I played through that one.
Okay. Yeah, that's the original Xbox because that was the one everybody wanted the backwards compatibility for.
Yes.
So okay. Apparently all the Halos are getting a anniversary edition. But whatever. Quantum Break is supposed to come out this year. That's the Remedy game, which I'm really looking forward to. That would be nice.
That makes sense.
What else we got here? Crackdown. There's a new Crackdown coming, but not till 2016.
That's not worth talking about.
A rumor of a $400 Xbox that doesn't have a disk drive.
That doesn't make sense to me. I'm calling BS on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. What size would the hard drive have to be on that? Or at that point, will external hard drives be, will that be ready, the external hard drive saves?
I don't know. Why are you calling bullshit on it, Chip?
It just doesn't make sense.
Why not?
Why would retailers want that on their store shelves?
Well, I guess that would be the test. Because they would have one of each version. They would have it. They're not going all digital. Xbox One isn't going all digital. Now there's two versions. There's one because they're still going to carry the same amount of discs on the shelf. Because
have you
still
seen how much
the
room an Xbox One takes up on a shelf?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think. I'm playing devil's advocate here on how it could work.
I'm playing the other advocate.
Maybe by then they'll be selling the download cards at retail.
They could be. They could sell
download
cards.
I don't even
think
it's a problem with getting into retail because retail wants to sell games. I think it's a space issue. Like they take up considerable amount of real estate, these Xbox One boxes. You can, like in a Target case, those things fill up with about, I don't know, maybe six.
Yeah, I would say
Xbox Ones.
Six sounds right.
And in that same case size, you could fit about 18, between 15 and 18 PS4s, I would say.
Really?
Well, there are no PS4s on the shelves, so,
Oh, that's, have you seen my Targets?
I know, I saw your Target. I have yet to see a PlayStation 4 in the wild.
Every Target around here has more PlayStation 4s in stock than Xbox Ones.
Why are they shipping all of the PlayStation 4s in America to Cincinnati? It is weird because I look because I'm like you. I want to go in and I'm just curious, and I don't see them. I don't see PlayStation 4s. I don't see that many Xbox Ones. It's not like there's 18 Xbox Ones and zero PlayStation 4s. It's usually like one or two Xbox Ones and no PlayStation 4s.
My Targets have more Ouyas in stock than Xbox Ones.
That's weird. Must be a Cincinnati thing. Something in the chili.
But yeah, I just don't see it. It doesn't make sense to me because, especially not for $100 cheaper, and you're not going to be able to play Blu-rays in it. You won't be able to play any disc-based games. It just doesn't seem like a very good value.
It does seem weird to me, though. I agree. I agree that it's weird.
This was always a rumor that they were going to come out with an Xbox 360 that didn't have an optical drive.
Yes. I don't
think it's just people being hopeful that for something. I don't know.
Okay. Also, there's going to be, apparently, and there's a picture of it, of a limited edition Titanfall Xbox One console.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, and this, plausible.
They already revealed the controller, so.
Yeah, why not?
Another thing with that optical disc drive, if you're going to be $100 cheaper than the other one, an optical drive is not a $100 product.
Right, they're cheap.
Well, is a blue disc drive $100?
No.
Okay, I don't know. I'm asking you. You're the expert.
Well, think about this. If you go to Target and you see a Sony Blu-ray player selling for $60,
yeah, I guess you had a point. You know what? There's still part of me that does. I haven't bought a Blu-ray player in ever. So
yeah. So
I forget how much they cost because it's not something I'm looking for.
Was there anything else on this list that we didn't really
Nothing. I mean, I don't think there's anything else on here that's particularly thrilling.
Okay, fine.
There's a Platinum Games game coming out.
In 2 years.
That seems reasonable.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. It's like, these are all things. There may be a Crackdown 3 game by 2016. I mean, okay.
Let me get my pre-order in now for both.
Exactly.
Of
it's not. It's not something that, you know, it's January of 2014. That really doesn't mean much right now.
Okay. And there was another leak or rumor, whatever, which is totally feasible, that there is a big Xbox One update coming, dashboard update coming in March, that will fix all the party shit that's broken, and I don't know, maybe make the voice shit work better. I don't know. There definitely needs to be things to.
They're gonna take the Michigan JFrog out of it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, there are definitely things that need to be fixed.
The Hello Xbox My Darling patch, I believe, is what it's called.
Okay, and also
the Ragtime Gal patch, is that better?
Yes. Also, there's a promotion where you can trade in your PS3 at a Microsoft store and get up to $100 credit towards an Xbox One purchase.
No, I did.
This was
it does
really
also
poorly.
Why like, is that?
Well, they send these emails out to, I don't know, everybody that's on their list.
Okay.
And the way it's worded, it's just, ditch your PS3, get $100 store credit towards an Xbox One. Is it really like worth like the grossness in that message for the number of people that are actually going to bring a PlayStation 3 to a Microsoft store?
You mean they could have used the word trade instead of ditch?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just semantics there, but it seems a little unprofessional and unnecessary for the amount of people who are going to take advantage of this deal.
Not only that, but they're also accepting Xbox 360s as part of this promotion. So why not just say that? Why not say trade your Xbox 360?
Because Microsoft doesn't want you to get rid of your 360 because they're still making games for that.
No, but they're having the promotion, though.
I understand that, but they're not going to highlight that. They still would rather you. They want you to think PlayStation 3 first.
I think, though, like if you don't want people to think that you're a dick, don't use the word ditch and then add the Xbox 360 in there since you're doing that anyway, since it's part of the promotion.
You're saying instead of saying ditch your PlayStation 3, it should say trade in your old console, get the new hotness for $100
right.
less.
Right.
Yeah.
I often find in these emails from the Microsoft store that they're trying to be a little bit edgy with their wording and everything. It just comes off as gross, mainly to me.
Yeah, it is a little gross, and it's a little unusual in the sense that this is a store that does not sell used consoles, especially not used PlayStation 3s. What are they going to do with all of these PlayStation 3s if this does work? This promotion,
they've got to deal with a third party, I'm sure. They'll turn them over and then they'll end up on Amazon.
It's so shady. Well, they say recycle. They should donate them to a hospital.
No, they're going to sell them.
I know. It's just weird. The whole thing is really gross. It's a very gross promotion. Yeah. And it, you know, it does. I don't know how sales
to Machinima.
Right.
You know what though? It's
CPM on those.
Perceptively, it's a bad promotion because it makes it look like the Xbox One is already in trouble when it probably is not.
Well, it definitely is not. How could it be in trouble?
It is not in trouble. The Microsoft stores, however,
are in trouble.
Are in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, which but I that's that the that's useful. What it perceptually could
oh, no,
convey.
I agree with you. Yeah, but.
And it's not the way to do it. Because when I first read that, I'm like, maybe sales are slowed down. You know, to me, it's my litmus test is Amazon. If it's available on Amazon, then, you know, the Xbox One is always available on Amazon. The PlayStation 4 is never available on Amazon. Now, does that mean that one is selling more than others? Maybe Amazon just has that many?
Well, it's clear that Microsoft made a lot more Xbox Ones than Sony made PS4s.
True, but they also shipped out, you know, 3.9 million and only sold 3 million. So there's still 900,000. Do you think they've sold those 900,000 Xbox Ones yet? And they have already started producing more in 2014?
Oh, I'm sure they're producing more right now, but I doubt they've sold that 900,000 just because it's January and people don't typically go out and buy $400 and $500 consoles in January.
So who do you think's going to hit, say, the 5 million mark first in sales?
I don't care.
I know. I don't know. I don't know why I asked the question. I don't know why it matters to me. That's what's even worse. Why do I care?
I don't either.
Anyway, I think we all agree that the promotion could have been handled better.
Yes.
But it really doesn't mean anything.
I will give you $101 to ditch your PS3 my way. Because I'm pretty sure I can sell it for a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, this is what GameStop gives you. GameStop will give you $100 for a PS3 for only the best PS3, like the 500 gigabyte PS3. They'll give you.
But that makes sense for GameStop because they will sell it in that store.
No, but they're going to sell it too. Microsoft's going to sell that to probably NORAM, and then they'll sell it to GameStop.
Yeah,
or whatever.
But
they want you to come to the store, and maybe they can sell you one of those shitty tablets.
Actually, I don't think the Surface is as shitty as you think it is, but that's
I don't know that it's shitty.
It's not shitty. The Surface 2 Pro is not shitty.
All I know is my Microsoft friend, former Microsoft friend, always making fun of the Surface and everything Microsoft. So now I think that everything Microsoft is shitty.
Well.
Anyway, let's move on to Sony. I think we've exhausted the Microsoft shit. A lot of stuff coming to PlayStation Plus in February. A lot of good freebies. Outlast, Metro Last Light, and Payday 2. Outlast is for PS4. The other ones are for PlayStation 3. That's a good lineup.
It is a good lineup, especially for free.
Yeah, we talked about that before as well. Developer Darren writes in and asks, are you guys interested in Infamous Second Son? Best game I've seen graphically, probably. There was some new footage from China. I guess the game was shown to some Chinese press, and there's an off-cam video on YouTube of it, and yeah, it looks pretty good. It reminds me. It's interesting. They took some cues from the Infamous Vampire game. What was Blood something? What was that called?
That was good. The good one.
Yeah, my favorite one.
Festival
of Blood. So now you don't have to, you know, slow as shit climb up the side of buildings. You can just basically warp up there. Yeah.
Yes. You can nightcrawler up the buildings?
Pretty much. Yeah.
I think it's good work.
I think it's even purple when you do it.
Does it smell like sulfur?
I'm going to say I'm interested in about the first half of this game because that seems to be as long as I can stomach Infamous.
No, you finished the Festival of Blood one.
I finished. No, that was the perfect length.
Because that's like the length of half a game.
Right.
Yeah, 6 hours.
I finished the first Infamous, but it took me like a year because I played like half of it and then I couldn't do it. There's too much. It's the Assassin's Creed syndrome where I just go off and grab every little shard and do every little side mission. And there's a lot to do in these games and you can get burnt out on them pretty quickly. So I'm hopeful that this one is a little bit more varied or a little bit more streamlined. One of those two.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's coming out soon, right? Is this a March release, I think.
Is it coming out same time as Titanfall?
Let's see. This is March 21st. When's Titanfall?
I think it's the same day.
Titanfall. Let's see. March 11th.
March
11th. Okay, so there's 2 weeks.
That's pretty soon.
Yeah.
Cool.
Looking forward to it.
I like games.
I think Titanfall comes out the week that I'm in Jamaica.
So, I'm sorry.
Maybe I should cancel my trip.
Look, man, you be missing out on the Titanfall, but you get to smoke the ganja.
And go down water slides.
Are you taking your kids to Jamaica?
Yeah. We're going to a family resort.
But won't have a glass of wine.
Your kids are going to get kidnapped in Jamaica, probably.
Nah, not if we don't leave the resort. It's an all-inclusive. It has the second largest
resort?
Water park in Jamaica on the premises.
The sex one, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't you go to the first largest?
Because that's supposedly not as nice a hotel. So,
what part of Jamaica are you going to?
We're going to the Hilton Rose.
I don't believe that's a city in Jamaica.
I know, but that's where we're going. I don't know what the cities. Does it matter? Are there cities in Jamaica? It's Jamaica.
Shipwreck wants to get the word out to the kidnappers.
I mean, seriously.
They're waiting for you.
There are definitely cities in Jamaica.
I know. I know that. Thanks. I know there are cities in Jamaica.
Montego Bay.
You're in Montego Bay. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Why is it?
Ooh,
is that
4.5 stars on TripAdvisor. Good job.
It's supposed to be very nice. We went through a travel agent and we're doing a whole thing. Whatever. It'll be fun.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep those windows rolled up.
Yes, we're not going to Disney this year for the first time in 4 years. So.
All right. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I was going to Jamaica.
I guarantee you'd have a good time. And it would be fun if you came when I... You should go when I'm going. Set it up.
It's too far.
Yeah.
When I move back to America, I will go to Jamaica.
Do you know what airport are you flying into?
I know it's like... It's very close to the hotel.
Okay.
What flight are you going to be on so the kidnappers can just be waiting for you at the airport?
Yeah. No, it's a short flight from New York to
Jamaica.
The whole
sign up. Wombat family.
Yeah.
Get into this van with the blacked out windows.
It'll be a good time. I'm actually
here,
very
smell
much
this rag. This is a special Jamaican rag. Just smell this. Inhale deeply.
It's a common custom to smell the rag.
All right. Where were we here? And also, Tim Utley writes in and asks, so there's a rumor that software emulation for PS1 and PS2 titles are coming to PS4, and Tim Utley wants to know if he thinks that feature will hurt the desire for PlayStation Now. We still don't know very much about PlayStation Now, right? We don't know. We know it's a subscription service, right? But we don't know what that really is going to get you. Do we even know it's a subscription service?
I don't think
there's been any pricing details.
No price, but it is a subscription of some sort.
Right. Okay. Well,
and
I don't know
if PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 title emulation is all that exciting. Right,
it's
now
not.
If it was PlayStation 3 emulation on the PlayStation 4, I could see that being big news.
It's exciting for people who listen to video game podcasts, but that's a pretty small percentage of the general population.
Funny.
So let's move on to Nintendo, because there's so much Nintendo news. As you know, last week they released their financial forecast and they were pretty bad. And so bad that Iwata is taking a pay cut, and so is the board. And they just had a briefing, I guess it was yesterday or 2 days ago or something like that, where they outlined their future plans sort of kind of vaguely. Yeah. So a few takeaways from that is that they're going to be... So it seems like their focus is going to be on quality of life. Okay, that's their differentiation. Did you read through this, Ship? Did you read through the transcript or anything?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
I read most of it.
Because it's not very clear on exactly what's happening, right? It seems like they want to be focused on health-related products.
I don't think they're very clear on what's happening.
But is that a new system? It sounds like it's going to be a new system, or is it that's working with the Wii U, or...
It was very vague about what it was. You could take it either way. It sounded like it was a new device, but I don't know if that device uses the Wii U. I would almost think it doesn't use the Wii U, but I don't know. I don't know how they're going to sell Wii Us, so I'm not sure if it's a good idea.
And they're still trying to sell Wii Us. Like, they haven't given up on the Wii U, right? They said even one part of the presentation was, we need to figure out how to make the gamepad. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Great name, by the way. How to make the gamepad more integral to the experience, which I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. It's already integral to the experience. I have to use it when I play a game.
Yeah.
I either have to use that or a Wiimote.
Which no one wants to use a Wiimote. It's funny. I said this to you on Shipwreck, and you said, I have no idea what you're talking about, which makes sense. And I can only talk about this. This is really more anecdotal, just me. But I think the thing that is really hurting the Wii U more than anything else is, and bear with me, is the 3DS.
Go on.
I don't think right now, personally, I don't see a reason to own both. Where the Wii was able to succeed is that it actually, it was complementary to your other home consoles, and it did things that your handheld didn't do. So, and it was, you know, relatively inexpensive. So it made for a good complement with everything else. I don't personally don't see a reason to own a Wii U if I already have a 3DS. You know, yes, there are different Super Mario games on both, but they're not crazy different in a way where I don't, where I feel like I need to, where I'm missing out on the current Mario experience.
You're going to get your fix. You're going to get your Nintendo fix.
I can get my Nintendo fix. I can get my Zelda fix. I can get my Mario fix. I can get my Animal Crossing fix. I get Mario Kart fix. I can get my Smash Brothers fix because it's coming out on that also. Everything I want to play with all of those classic characters is available on the 3DS. And if I want to play the classics, I can buy them for my 3DS, and they're not, I'd have to buy them again on the Wii U. So I don't see why anyone, I don't see the reason why anyone would buy both. It doesn't make sense to me. I think the killer, the thing that's really hurting sales of the Wii U is the 3DS.
Well, what's hurting sales of the Wii U is that, well, one, that it has Wii in the name.
Well, yeah,
That was a really boneheaded move, because people aren't going to be
That's right, not
again.
The thing, one of
that's
the
a, that's
things.
That's an easy boneheaded move to make, though.
Yes. Because
well, we
the
call, I call we call that right from the beginning. As soon as
yeah, the, but I can see how they made that move. It makes sense to me that, hey, we have this property that's the one of the best-selling video game consoles of all time.
Right.
Let's roll with that name again. It
right,
worked
but,
with us for the DS.
Right,
I've said it before. They should have used DS in the name instead of Wii.
Big D, Home DS. Well, we talked about
DS
this,
Home. I think it should have been called the DS Home. It also makes a lot more sense because it's a dual screen console.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, we talked about this like months and months and months ago.
Yes.
About
yes,
how their strategy
that they should bring
the start
DS games
to the TV.
And that's what they said they're going to do, because someone there must be listening to this show, because we said that about 3 months ago.
Well, they didn't actually go out and say, well, so there was that rumor like 2 weeks ago about the Nintendo Fusion, which did sound like a portable system that can sort of dock with something that's hooked up to your TV, which is exactly what we talked about, like, I don't know, it was like a year ago, probably. In this presentation, they talked about having like your Nintendo IDs tied across different hardware platforms.
Well,
and
they need
I think
a cross buy. They need it if I buy Super Mario Brothers, you know, the NES version for $5, I should be able to play that game on both my consoles.
Well, so they basically gave a lot of general ideas, but nothing specific in the presentation. They did say that they're bringing DS games to the Wii U, which is like, okay.
They also said they were going to bring Game Boy Advance games a long time ago, too, and I just don't think that's happened, has it?
I don't know. I mean, do you want to play Game Boy Advance games?
No, I don't want any of this.
Well, that's really what I'm saying. It's like, A, I don't know how many people want any of this, and B, like I just said, if you're really a Nintendo fan and you want to play the great Nintendo games, they're available on a handheld that costs $130 less than the home console, which takes up a whole lot less space, and you could take it anywhere. Why would you buy one over the other?
Well, you wouldn't. They want you to buy a portable and a home console.
Right. I know, but there's no reason to buy the portable and the home console.
Well, that's because their home console, there's no reason to buy that.
We are all in agreement here.
Well, that's why the Fusion idea is such a much better idea. If it's something that, you know, it's basically the home, quote unquote, home console is basically just a thing to get the portable games up on your TV and not, you know, have them look not shitty, if they can figure out a way to do that. I think that that's a step in the right direction. And about this, you know, health monitoring technology.
Well, you know, America is the thinnest country in the world.
Yeah. I mean, well, but Americans do spend a lot on, you know, fitness devices. And, you know, they never use them, obviously, just by looking around. But they do spend a lot of money on it. So that's not a shitty idea, but
There could be something there, but I don't know if that's the I don't know if it's something that
that's
will
not the answer for that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the answer. I don't know.
That
the Wii
saturated.
Worked best because it was a compliment.
They're pretty late, yeah. Like Shipwreck said, they're pretty late to that market. You know, Fitbit, Nike, Apple will be in there directly once their watch comes out. I'm sure that's going to have a pedometer in it. I don't know.
It's very sad because they can't come out and just kill off the Wii U. And that's what...
That's what they need to do, but they can't.
You can't do that, though. I don't know. Like, just going back to Target, because that's what I always do. If you go to Target and you look at the Wii U section, it's already the same size as what the PS4 and the Xbox One sections are. And it's been out much longer. Like, it's the same games. The same games have been sitting in that Wii U section for a long, long time.
What if there was a way that the Wii U could also serve as, if they release a new handheld? Well, but the 3DS just came out. It's only
there's nothing wrong with the 3DS.
No, I know, but if this fusion rumor is true, right? It's you know, it's a new handheld and a new, I guess, docking station or whatever you want to call it to get it onto the TV.
If anything, I think there should just be the docking, if you want to say a docking station where you could plug in your 3DS to play subscription-based games. I don't know. I don't see that working either. I think the trick is to get people to buy a Wii U because they already have those on the shelves.
Yeah,
and there needs to be more synergy with the Wii U and the 3DS. And there is none. And Miiverse isn't the answer. The answer is, you know, take a look at your friends over at Sony who have cross-buy. I know it hasn't helped Vita sales that much, but, you know, but that's in many ways the opposite situation, where their home console is not helping their handheld sales. But they should be able to look at that and go, well, we have so many people buying the handheld. How do we use that to get people to buy the home console?
So what's the answer? What do they do? What
cross
can they
buy.
Do?
I don't think there is one.
No, is there any real saving it? Probably not. But I think they need to have a more unified virtual presence.
Oh yeah, they definitely do.
And they're going. They said they're doing that, right? Yeah. That's part of their.
There's one thing to say they're going to do it, but to not have a timeline and to not just do it is another thing.
They need to get this fusion thing out as soon as possible. But like I said, the 3DS just came out. It's only three years old.
See, you're thinking hardware, and they should not release another piece of hardware this year. They need to just say, if you bought Super Mario Brothers in the Virtual Console, you can now play it on both your Wii U and your 3DS starting February 15th.
Yeah.
And that's the first step. Do this, and that's something that they should be able to just do. A flip a switch somewhere. Shipwreck would know better than me. A lot faster than it would take them to pull out some new piece of hardware out of their ass that hooks up to your TV and you could take with you, which is just a dumb idea.
Yeah, they've taken steps in that direction, I mean, recently with the Nintendo ID being across both the Wii U and the 3DS. So it seems like the steps are in motion for this to happen.
That's what I mean. Like, they need to just do it. They need to get, you know, stop dragging their asses and do it. Say, okay, now everything's cross-buy. And then they, you know, if they take that next step and make it as, you know, subscription-based or actually make those prices relatively reasonable, you know, they're still selling Genesis games for $5 a pop where you could just be playing your Sonic Collection Genesis, you know, compilation disc for $14 on your 360. Again, you know, there's such disparity with those prices. It just, a lot of it just doesn't make sense, and they need to make that make sense, because that's, you know, that's your razor to get people to buy razor blades. It's something to get people in the store. You know, it's selling a video game for $5 with the hopes that they buy a TV at Best Buy. They need to be doing that. They need to start not, you know, as close to giving away these classic games as they can get to get people to buy that console so they could say, I'm having a lot of fun playing these old games. I want to see how this new Mario game is too, and go out and spend $50 on a new game and to, you know, and of course buy the damn console. Hmm. You know, everyone keeps, and it's not about competing with Apple iPads and iPods. It's not about competing with the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. It's about using the strengths that they have, which are these classic games and these classic franchises that people are still buying. Unlike...
Nobody's going to buy a $350 console to play old games.
You'd be surprised. If
that was the case, they can do that right now.
Unless, like they said,
buy
a Wii U.
But it costs too much to play these old games.
If they were all free or something, if you buy a Wii U and now you get access to like their whole back catalog of classic games, I mean, people might be interested in that. But I don't think that they're going to do that.
Exactly. It's like they have to find that. I don't think they would give it away for free, but it has to be cheap enough where someone may actually say to themselves, you know what? $300 and it comes with, you know, the Mario game and the Luigi game. And I get access to all of these other games for whatever it is, $8 a month. That's enticing. That really is an enticing idea.
To who?
To children of the Nintendo generation that now have kids that have never played those games.
Those kids don't want to play those games.
Those kids don't know that they want to play those games.
I think it's enticing to people who are high on Percocet.
Hey, I'm trying to come up with an idea to save Nintendo.
I know.
Oh, I don't think Nintendo needs saving. I just think
Well,
the
yeah, you're
Wii
right. That's true. You're 100%
right.
Saving. Nintendo doesn't need saving. The Wii U needs saving. Nintendo is in fine shape. They're not going anywhere. It's like people who say we need to save the planet. The planet's not going anywhere. We're the ones who will die out.
How about like a Mario elliptical machine that comes with a free Wii U when you buy it? Or an ab roller, maybe? No. I don't know.
I just see those Wii Fit U's just not selling, right? Like, I don't know how that would encourage a company to say we need to go further down this route.
Yeah, people will not be fooled again with the whole Wii thing. So people got fooled the first time with Wii Fit. Okay, and then they realize like they didn't use it, or just, you know, it's just a scale basically. They're not gonna get fooled again, and that's why they're not buying the Wii U, because they got fooled by the Wii the first time with the motion control stuff, and then it sat in their houses.
They
didn't sell any games though, right? I mean,
the Wii, it sold games. Mario Kart.
Yeah, okay.
It sold three games, but a boatload of those three games.
Okay, right, exactly.
Mario Kart and Just Dance.
Yeah.
And Zumba.
Yeah, people aren't getting fooled again. That's the problem. But I don't know. Hopefully they have some more specifics in the near future, and we'll see what they have up their sleeve. Hopefully it's not a new Fitbit. how about some multi-platforming and Wombat's news and stuff? Did you read this article about Jewish stereotypes in video games from Kotaku?
I started to, and I was like, I don't want to.
Oh, it was actually really good. I'm surprised that you didn't read it. But did you hear about this, the Far Cry Blood Dragon developer, his great game idea? He was in some interview or some, I don't know, he had a speaking engagement somewhere, and he was talking about some of his game pitches in the past that didn't work out. And so this guy's name is Dean Evans, and his great idea, one of his great ideas, was a game called So Jew Want to Be a Thief. And in this game, in this hypothetical game, you're a Hasidic Jew who's a thief, because, you know, all Jews are just obsessed with money, right? You know, that hilarious joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're a Hasidic Jew that's a thief, and you have to sneak around and steal things. Because Jews like money. Get it? So, yeah. So in this article that was written by Jason Schreier, talks about, it was a really interesting article. It's like, this is the best guy. Like, you know, everybody loves a good Jew joke.
Yeah.
This is the gist of the article. Everybody loves a good Jew joke. But saying that Jews love money is about the laziest Jew joke that you can come up with. And he goes to talk about South Park, and, you know, Cartman is just like a horrible character, and he's, you know, you expect that type of stuff to come out of his mouth. And in fact, even the South Park role-playing game that comes out one of the classes you can be, you know, you can be like a fighter or a mage, a cleric. You can be a Jew also. That's one of the classes. That's one of the classes in the game, which is funny. I mean, just that idea alone is funny. So this guy's grand idea of a Jew joke is that Jews like money and they're going to steal things to be, you know, because that's funny. Anyway, it's a pretty good article. You should check that out. It's called About Jewish Stereotypes in Video Games. And of course, in the CAG bag, there's a question, a related question from Chateris. And he asks, do Japs care if you're a Jew? Was growing up a Jew hard? Regards, love listening to the CAGcast every week. The funniest thing about this question is that I looked at this guy's profile, and now, of course, I can't fucking find it. This guy is a... Hold on, here it is. He's an East Asian Studies undergrad. That's his major, okay? And a student of religious studies and philosophy. And he doesn't know that Japs is a derogatory term for Japanese people, or he's just trying to get into the under the Twitter character limit. I don't know. But you should... check that out, Chateris. That's Japanese people don't like to be called that.
Was growing up a Jew hard?
I would imagine that for some Jews it would be pretty hard, but if you live in New York, where there's a lot of other Jews, it's not hard.
Yeah, it's. Although I will admit, Sabrina is the only Jewish kid in her class. She's not the only Jewish kid in her school, but she's the only Jewish person in her class in kindergarten.
Is it hard for her?
Not really. I mean, it's not hard. Is it hard for her? No.
Right.
No, but, you know, it definitely, you know, it brought up a lot of questions for her that she had for us. You know, why am I the only Jew in my class?
Right.
How does that come up?
Christmas. We live in a world.
You guys
we live in a country that
Christmas,
where
though.
Christmas is a pretty big deal. I don't know if you know that.
But I thought you celebrate Christmas.
Well, it's not that we celebrate Christmas. I mean, we don't celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate the holiday of Christmas. But we don't deny Sabrina the Santa Claus experience.
Do you have a tree?
No.
Okay.
No, but
does she think
Christmas,
Santa Claus is real?
She thinks Santa Claus is real. And I'm not going to tell her Santa Claus is not real. And there's two reasons for that. One, right. I'm not a dick. I'm not going to look her in the eye and say Santa's fake. The other reason is, if I did tell her that, A, she would be crushed, and B, she would then go to school, and when her classmates started to bring up Santa, she would say, well, Santa isn't real anyway.
And then all the other parents would hate you.
All the other, and why would I do that to a bunch of other kids?
Right.
What kind of an asshole would
that's
I,
why
would
I
make
didn't
me?
Do that to Ty. That's why I didn't tell Ty. I came pretty close to telling Ty that Santa wasn't real, but I figured that he would start telling the other kids. And then that would be a problem.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. And, you know, she knows that Hanukkah is when she gets all of her gifts, and she knows that that comes from her family. But on Christmas morning, when she wakes up, she'll have something that probably doesn't cost more than $10.
Right.
That Santa brought her because she was a good girl.
Yeah.
And why
cheap
would...
Cheap Jewish Santa.
Yeah. cheap Jew Santa only gives small presents.
Right.
But... this way, when she goes back to school and all her friends talk about the stuff they got from Santa, she could say, I got something from Santa, too.
Instead of doing that, I just explained to Ty that I'm Jewish and that we don't celebrate this. And that I know it seems unfair, but that's just the way it is. And I would feel weird about buying you Christmas presents.
When Sabrina's like, I don't know, probably 8 or older, we'll see. I don't know. We'll gauge her maturity as the years go by. Yes, the Christmas thing will go away.
Ty was fine with that explanation.
Yeah, but how many, you know, is Christianity is different in Japan, isn't it?
They celebrate Christmas, though. All the kids get, I didn't realize this until this year, all the kids get Christmas presents here.
Except for Ty.
Except for Ty.
Ty didn't get one. He was fine. He sucked it up.
Yeah. See, I guess that's just the difference between me and you.
I figured I could talk to him like an adult, and the only thing I didn't say was that Santa Claus was fake. Everything else I told him was 100% true.
So what did you do when Ty asked you, if Santa doesn't bring me a gift, does that mean I was not a good boy this year?
No, he didn't ask me that.
Because Sabrina asked us that.
I just said, like, I said, Santa. What I think of what I told him is that Santa doesn't come to our house because I'm Jewish, I think is what I something like that. And that he didn't, you know, growing up, we grew up without Santa. And now you have to grow up without Santa in your face.
Yeah, that just sounds kind of harsh. I'd rather you're gonna be paying for it with therapy when he's about 17.
He was fine with it. We had a nice conversation about it, like big boys, and he said he understood, and he was fine. Like, he gets presents. He's got plenty of presents.
Your son gets no presents. We all know that you don't buy gifts for your children, child.
Well, I buy them for myself, and I let him use them.
Yeah, we know how it works in your house.
Okay. Anyway. Let's move on to the PC section. I've started playing Hearthstone, as you've probably known if you follow me on Twitter. It's in open beta right now, so you can download it for PC or Mac, and it runs on my 3-year-old MacBook Air. It's a card. It's a, you know, one of these card battle games, but it's got a very nice tutorial. It's World of Warcraft themed, but even if you don't give a shit about World of Warcraft, which I don't, I don't know a thing about it. But the game is really easy to pick up. It's not confusing at all. It's fun. You have these nice, maybe 10 minute matches or so with other people online. It's free to play. I think it's coming to iPad and iPhone. I think iPhone, or it's coming to iOS soon, I guess, once it gets out of beta. But I streamed a whole shitload of it this week, and it's really fun game to stream. And apparently I'm pretty good at it, too, because I seem to win a lot. In fact, I got this email from Lord Raptor this morning. He said, "Dearest Cheapy, I think you've forgotten you're supposed to suck at games. You've kicked too much Hearthstone ass this week, mine as well. To make amends, I think next week we should all have a rematch, except let us play against Wombat instead." My ass still hurts, Lord Raptor. So, shout out to Blizzard for making like a really accessible card battle game. And I think you should try to get into it, Wombat. Do you have anything you can have? You can play it on your PC, probably.
Yeah, if I can, I'll check it. I'll try to play it on my PC. And if not, I'll wait for it to be on the iDevice.
Yeah, because everything will carry over to your, you know, you just log into your account and any progress you make will carry over to the iDevice.
That's fine. I'll give it a shot. I didn't even realize it was a card game until earlier today. And I do like those card games. So
it's really, and it's the thing about it is like you'll understand how to play it within a half an hour. Totally.
Okay.
I mean, you're not going to master it or anything, but excuse me. I'm throwing up nuts. It's really fun. Hearthstone. Really cool. Shipwreck 2. You gotta play that shit.
I tried to, but I'm locked out of my battle.net account currently. So
fix that shit.
Give him a call.
Also in the world of PC, both Shipwreck and I got some preview codes for Jazz Punk, which is a first person
that's about right.
It's a first person really weird game that's coming to Steam, I think February 7th.
Is that the Adult Swim game?
I don't know. Is that an Adult Swim? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because it's bizarre. I mean, just the opening video will give you a seizure.
Now I have
probably
to check the email.
Yeah, check that shit out.
It's fun though.
Like, it's really fun.
It's a adventure game, I would say. Like, you're going around and you're interacting with things in the environment. It's got a very kind of trippy, I don't know, 60s mod type of theme to it.
Yeah. And sarcastic.
Oh, very sarcastic. But I'm enjoying it.
There's a ton of references to, you know, pop culture references, movies, video games, that some are not so obvious. Like, I don't want to ruin anything. Well, it's ruin anything. But like, at one point in the game, you're in a resort. You're like a spy in the game. You're a spy, and you're supposed to, you go on different missions and such. And after a couple of missions, you get sent on vacation. And I'm at this resort, and I go into the bathroom in my resort, and next to the toilet where there should be toilet paper, there's just 3 seashells on the wall.
All right.
So obviously that's a reference to
Demolition Day.
Demolition.
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
That was the game that Matt sent us, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Adult Swim.
There's also mini games that are based on, you know, old, you know, classic video games in there. It takes place in Japan. I was surprised to see that.
I can see that. That first level reminded me of Jet Set Radio Future.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's cute and funny. I don't know. So it's called Jazz Punk. We have some codes to give away, but not until the game actually comes out. So I guess during our next show, we'll give away those codes, and hopefully I won't forget. But yeah, check it out. I think it's early access, so you can actually, I think you can buy it now. But anyway, Jazz Punk on Steam, very cool.
I remembered something I wanted to talk about in the Xbox section.
Yeah, go ahead.
I tweeted about this, but there was a pre-order bonus that EA announced for Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
Okay.
Which, if you pre-order, you get 2 packs of booster cards for the game.
Uh-oh.
Right. That's, I don't know. Like, do they just not understand that's not a good... It's not something that makes people want to buy your game.
No, not on console anyway. Right. Not when you're paying for the game.
Not when you're paying $40 for the game, and then right up front, you already know that there's going to be just microtransactions everywhere in this thing.
Yeah. I don't know what's a worse idea, that and seeing the Elder Scrolls Online stuff everywhere now, knowing that that game is $60 plus $15 a month or whatever it is.
That game's going to bomb hard.
It's like I feel like that game came out and died already, and yet it's supposed to come out when, like, next week or something. It's so weird, the thought of here's your favorite game of all time, but we made it into a subscription based game that you still have to play full price for. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough. And it supposedly costs a shitload of money to make, too.
Which is why I think they have to do what they're doing, but I don't know. Let me ask you a question, and your answers may be different than the regular consumer, but you never know. Would you, let's say Plants vs. Zombie, let's say they need to have these microtransactions to make up for the development costs. Would you rather the game have no microtransactions at all and everything gets unlocked through, you know, regular gameplay? In a reasonable fashion for $70.
No. Why? It doesn't need to be $70. You can charge $60
instead of $40. Yeah, that's true. On a $40 game, they should have just charged $60. But what about a game like $60 game that has, like, Forza? What if they charged $80 for that game?
No. Here's the two options. You either make the game free or incredibly cheap, and then go with your using the free-to-play model that you use in iOS, monetization strategy, or you charge full price for the game. You don't need to charge more. Games are $60.
If
Call of Duty can be $60, okay, then, you know, and Halo and whatever, and Titanfall can be $60 games, then why does Forza need to be $80? Why do they need to... You know, nickel and dime us with...
Well, that's the question, is why are they nickel... Are they nickel and diming us because they just want to make that much more money? Or are they nickel and...
Yes, of course!
You're making an assumption. I'm asking a question. How much did it cost to make Forza 5?
I don't know.
Quite a bit.
Probably the same that it costs to make any AAA title.
And are they getting that money back? Are they making a profit? And how long is it taking them?
How do I know?
Exactly.
They do it. If they think they can make more money by putting in, you know, the free to play mechanics into a full price retail game, then they're going to do it. It's all about, look, these are public companies. It's a, you know, as the great Michael Pachter says, it's a profit deal. If they think they can make more profit doing something in a different way, they're going to do it. You know, if it's not going to impact, if it's not going to negatively impact the amount of people, the profit, then they'll continue to do it.
I'm thinking out loud.
But to answer your question...
They're killing Plants vs. Zombies.
Like, yeah. There's no reason to release that game at $40. This is exactly what you just said, one of your examples. Release the game cheaper with the free-to-play mechanic, and I think that's a terrible idea.
Well, cheaper like $5.
And it's still a terrible idea.
Well, I'd say, look, have you played the iPad game, the newest one? I mean, that's a free-to-play game.
Yeah.
And they have the free-to-play monetization in there.
I think they screwed that one up by making it so you didn't have to pay.
Exactly. I would have rather... You know what? If they just said, here, this game is $3 or $5, I would have bought it anyway.
Well, that's
instead,
just
I
it.
I paid nothing for it and gave them no money in microtransactions either.
Free-to-play is tricky, unless you're Candy Crush.
Yeah. I think they're still... Microsoft, EA, they're still trying to figure out, you know, best practices for microtransactions and free-to-play mechanics, but I think we can all agree that we do not want these mechanics in our full-priced retail console games. It's just there's no reason for them to be there. And it just detracts from the overall
playing
experience.
Unless people are actually spending the money.
They are. They must be.
That's my worry, that Peggle 2, which was $15,
mm-hmm.
right? $15, yeah. You got everything, and there wasn't any of this ridiculous microtransactions in there. I'm going to guess they're going to make less profit off of that than what they do on Plants vs. Zombies.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's my worry, but I don't know. It hasn't come out how all of this Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare stuff works either, but booster cards are never a good sign.
No, that's a big warning sign right there. Before we do Cagbag, I want to mention, a new segment that we can do on the show. So while I was at Tokyo American Club, I met a guy who runs this website. He actually just bought this website called Akihabara News, which is actually a website that I used to read before I knew this guy. In fact, it's how I found my my sound projector, my Yamaha sound projector, and the stand that goes in it. They write about, it's a blog that writes about Japanese tech and sort of like weird Japanese stuff as well. So they wanted to know how we could sort of work together on this. And I thought, you know, maybe they could send us some stories over that they thought our listeners would be interested in. And we're sort of running late this show. So I'll just give you a quick rundown and I'll post the links in the show thread if you want to follow up on there. But this week, the guy sent me, there's a new Toyota commercial with Elijah Wood in it and Peter Rabbit, where they try to sell you a minivan, like a square minivan. And it just makes, you know, it's Elijah Wood just talking, saying, oh, hi there to Peter Rabbit. And then there's a minivan. It's really weird. You should watch it. Watch the YouTube video. There's also Takara Tomy, which is the company that makes Transformers here, just came out with Robofish, excuse me, which is robotic fish that you can put in an aquarium, and they swim around like real fish. They're pretty lifelike in the way they look. I don't know why anyone, I don't know, Japanese people really like fish, like carp. It's like a big deal here. But yeah, the video is pretty cool. And there's also a story about you know what's popular in Japan? Killing yourself by jumping in front of a moving train. There's a pretty good article about that as well. So I'll have links in the show thread.
More popular than earthquakes?
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
People do that here like once a week.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I don't know why that's such a big deal in Japan. I mean, you know, how many of my trains have been canceled? Like,
is that? Oh, is it? Is that true?
Yeah, I wouldn't say once a week. That's me exaggerating. But it happens more often than not.
It happens a lot.
Like, what's a lot?
Once a day?
That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You should read the article. It's short.
That's
it's
okay. I don't need to.
Too sad for you?
Yeah, it's okay. I have enough, you know.
Okay. Let's do some quick Cagbag questions. Because I'm afraid to end the show because I feel like Wombat's just getting more and more high as the show goes on.
So are you enjoying it?
I am. The Red Worm writes in and wants to know why Shipwreck is always so angry lately. He thinks he needs some time off.
It's my fault.
I agree. I need some time off.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a lot going on right now.
You're very busy at work.
Very busy at work. The baby thing.
Keeping you up. Do you have, when the baby wakes up in the middle of the night, is that on you? Or is that on your wife usually? Who's got to take care of baby?
We usually both get up and do various tasks, but gotcha. I usually go back to bed first.
Okay. Trey Jert wants us or you guys to make a Super Bowl prediction.
I'll go with the Broncos. Broncos.
That sounds good to me. I think the Broncos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I care? Not in the slightest. But I'll go with the Broncos.
Yeah.
I would like to watch a good football game, though. I'll give it that. I'll say that much.
I just realized I scheduled a meeting during the Super Bowl. So I guess I won't be watching it.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll be sleeping, and then I have a meeting, so I really won't be watching it. This is a dumb question. Akakonas says, when the Apple TV gaming console rumor comes true, he thinks it's going to be huge and a game changer. What do we think? I agree. I think Apple has proved, look, especially, I mean, I assume it's going to work the same way that it works with iPhone and iPad, that you buy these games for $1 or they're free games on one account. And as long as your account is signed in, you can use it on any device. And if one of those devices is an Apple TV, I think that's going to be a pretty big selling point for a lot of people.
I don't know. I disagree.
I don't know if it's a game changer, but I think they're going to make a lot of money.
I disagree there too.
Why?
Because I think the appeal to the current iDevice is its portability and its multifunction use. I think an Apple TV gaming console that doesn't have any history behind it or anything other, you know, doesn't have the cachet of the current home console market, and it's just an addition on top of something, you know, a lot of people just bought Xbox Ones and PlayStation 4s and are probably not in the market for a new console, especially a console that's only going to be playing these bite-sized shit games. But I don't want to play bite-sized shit games at home.
It's going to be like $100 or $150.
And it's cross-play.
Yeah, I don't. What is it going to use? Is there an Apple control? You know, the Apple controller, and I'm going to be able to play Temple Run on my TV. I don't see the point. I don't see it. I don't see the point.
You can use a controller to play Temple Run right now.
Yes, I know. I could use a controller to play Temple Run right now.
But you know what? I sort of poo-pooed. I said it wouldn't be a game changer, but it actually does have the potential to be a game changer, because if you look at parents who are the ones who are buying video games for their kids, it's a lot easier pill to swallow to get those either a dollar game or free game for your kid that they can play at home on a TV than buying the $400, $500 console with the $60 games.
But why would you buy that when they can be playing those $1 games on the device you already have?
Because it does a lot of other things. It brings like Netflix.
You need another thing in your house that has Netflix on it?
Well,
explain this to me. I want to know. I do not see the point. This seems to me as a pointless device as one could possibly make.
You already own these games, so you really don't have to buy any games.
But I already have a device to play them on.
And then think about the parents will say, hey, this is a way that I can actually save money by buying a new video game system.
But you're not. You're not saving any money. You're spending $150 to play the games. So you know what's great about these bite-sized little games, besides the fact that some of them are actually good because they're helping my daughter learn how to spell better than I could probably teach her?
Right.
Is that she can play them while sitting on the couch and I could watch her and help her?
Right.
And I could still have the Food Network on and watch my shows. But now you're saying, hey, let's take that angle away from you, where everybody's happy. So now only your kid is happy, and she's going to get frustrated because using a controller for a 5-year-old is actually more difficult than using the touch screen.
Why would you have to use a controller, though? You could just control it with the iPhone.
So what's the difference? Why is she not?
Because it's on your TV. It's not this hard. It's not that hard to comprehend.
So she's looking at the same thing on the phone that she's seeing on the TV.
Potentially.
So what's the point of it being on the TV too, then?
Or they make a real controller.
Well, that's the whole point. Using the touch on the games that my kids like to play, which is mostly drag a letter to spell the word properly.
Right.
Wouldn't really work well with a controller. It actually works very well with touch controls. Why she would need to see the same thing in her hand that she's seeing on the TV at the same time, and why I would need to spend money to buy a device that does that, again, I fail to see the point of any of this.
I don't think you're the market for it, then.
I guess not.
Because I think there's a huge market for it.
I think the only reason why it would sell is because it says Apple on the box.
That's all you need.
Huge market.
Apple TVs don't sell that well.
they don't probably
sell okay.
They sell okay, exactly. I don't think I don't get it. I don't see the point.
I think that people can access their software library.
I think if you buy it,
you can play Candy Crush Saga on your TV.
Yeah, I mean, if you buy it, you get what you deserve. They might as well just call it the hipster box. I don't know.
Okay. All right, that's enough. That's enough questions, right? Well, here's one more. Real, since I love Nerf guns, Real VG Buzz wants to know, which Nerf guns would you recommend for a husband and wife? The Strong Arm. $10. You buy two of them. You're good to go. Holds six shots. Buy that, and then buy an extra pack of darts, and you're good to go. Love those fucking Nerf guns, man. Anyway, okay, that's it for the show. It's a long show for us. Longest one in quite some time, actually. Follow us on Twitter, GPD, Wombat5277, Shipwreck. Also, Facebook.com/CheapAssGamer, Twitch.tv/CheapAssGamer, if you want to watch me play Heartland. What is it? Hearthstone. Heartland is the beer. And yeah, that's it. Also, check out AkihabaraNews.com. That's it. We will see you next week, I think, because I'm going to Guam on Friday. So I don't know when we're doing a show, but maybe we will, maybe we won't. So we will see you or not.
Well,
if
we don't do a show next week, yes. I won't be on the show. I won't probably won't be on the show the week after that.
Holy shit. So we have to do one.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Okay. Bread's done.
Okay. Okay.
Bread's done now.
In the world of the Transformers, nothing is what it seems. Meet the Constructicons, six evil robots that transform into one mechanical giant.
The Transformers, more than meet the eye. The Transformers.
It's Devastator, six Constructicons in one.
Transformers.
Devastator's attacking.
More than meet the eye.
Constructicons gift set sold separately from Hasbro.